Welcome to 2018, and also to Resting Witch Face, your one-stop pod for all things spooky, bitchy, and more.
I'm Grant Jacoby.
I'm Bailey Bennett. And in the new year, we will be remembering to introduce ourselves, because if you missed last week, we'd introduced ourselves about 40 minutes in.
Yeah, it was our worst introduction.
And episode ever, probably.
Probably. But you know what?
But like, maybe not.
Who knows?
So, this is a very special...
Yeah.
Special. I feel like we keep saying that every episode. This is a special episode.
Well, I feel like we've been doing some kind of what we keep referring to as special episodes where we try to mix things up, I think, as a way of hopefully keeping things fresh for you guys and keeping things fresh for ourselves.
Yes.
So we've been trying out different kind of
formats.
Modes. But don't worry, we're sticking to our regular... discussion-based episodes, which we'll resume next week.
Mm-hmm. But this week, we want to do a kind of year in review since we did, you know, birth Resting Witch Face in 2017, and now we are here in 2018, and we just want to talk, you know,
Is this episode 10?
I think this is, no. This is like 11 or 12.
Oh, shit. Wait, this is, this is episode 12.
Oh my God. Wow, we are prolific.
Zooming through it.
No
signs of slowing down.
Since we have so many things that we want to complain about and things that have scared us this year, we just thought we'd dedicate an entire episode to talking about the things that annoyed us and the things that scared us in 2017.
Yes, the great complaint episode of, I guess it's of 2017. I mean, spoiler alert, we're recording this in 2017.
Yeah.
But by the time you listen to it,
but I think to start things off, we're going to first go through some of the best scares of the year, and then we're just going to bitch for a while.
Bitch it out.
So hopefully you'll stick with us, and you'll send us things that you fucking hated in 2017 as well, and we'll talk about those. But actually, I guess before we get into the entire episode, should we talk about that other special email that we received?
Yes. So we... first of all, thank you all who have sent in emails. We really, really love it and appreciate it, regardless of what the content is. no, but actually...
Just send us, like, memes. We don't care.
No, but they've been really useful and helpful in terms of giving us ideas and suggestions, but then also it's nice. It's just always nice to know that we're not just kind of speaking into a void, that actually...
honestly.
We have people who... And we're just so grateful. Like, we didn't really think that this... We weren't sure what this would turn into, and so the fact that we're able to... bring enjoyment and laughter and
darkness
to your work days or your workouts or your commutes or whatever format you're listening to this in. We really, really appreciate it. So we received an email from someone who will remain anonymous.
Mm-hmm. We don't know if he wanted to remain anonymous, but...
But just to err on the side of caution. Yeah. And it could potentially birth out, I think, a new segment, which is because it was kind of an advice.
Yes.
And since we know nothing, we are perfectly...
Perfect. I mean, if...
To give advice.
If you've listened to this podcast at all, you know we are knowledgeable, we are sane, we have so much to give.
Clear thoughts.
Yeah.
Succinct.
Ideas. We have such clear thoughts, we can't even describe our own clear thoughts to you.
Exactly. So do we need to read the email, or do you want to reference it?
Well, the email was basically just asking us in this day and age if we felt it was appropriate or normal or romantic for someone to court another with some romantic original poetry.
Right.
And how do you feel about that, Grant?
I think if you have the balls to do that, like if that's something that's like you have, like you're like, fuck yeah, like I think that I could woo a woman or man or whomever with romantic poetry, I say go for it.
Interesting, because my immediate thought was serial killer move.
Well, maybe that's why I'm deep down, I want to get murdered, so I want that.
I mean, I think the idea behind it is romantic, but personally, if I were to receive poetry from someone I was interested in or was not interested in, I would be a little bit creeped out.
Well, I also think I don't disagree with you. In fact, I agree with you, but I think it also depends the context in which you're getting it. Like, is it a secret admirer? Mm-hmm. In which case, very creepy. Is it to someone you know, like you work with, or you, let's take this to the next.
Right. If you're friendly with them already and you're flirtatious and like, they're going to take it in a way that's like, oh, this is cute and funny.
Yeah.
Like that's totally fine.
Versus slipping a Starbucks barista, a note being like how you want to be entangled in their arms.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which
you don't want to pull a Spike before he turned into a vampire move.
No.
If you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
Where, he's writing original poetry for a woman who's clearly not interested in him.
Exactly.
And it's kind of just becoming, the laughingstock of the town. Not to say that that is what our listener is doing.
No.
So, anyway, if you have any... if you need any advice about... I would say that we... our expertise lies in relationships and in ghosts. So if you have an issue with either of those things, please let us know.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll give you some incredible advice, as we've just demonstrated here today. But to get into the meat of the episode.
Yes.
We are talking about things that scared us this year. And do you have things you would like to start with? Or I can?
Yeah, I have some things. Are we talking fictional?
Real life? Oh, yeah, we can talk. It can be anything.
Okay, well, I'm going to start with... it's a film.
Mm-hmm.
Rewatched again the other day. Really holds up. Came out in 2017. No surprise here. It's Get Out.
Oh, I wrote that on my list of things to talk about, too.
So I saw it in theaters when it first came out, obviously. And I rewatched it again because it's on HBO Go. And... it's just really, really well done.
It's great.
I think it's a perfect, it has some humor in it. It has a lot of social commentary.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very applicable. It's well acted. And it has the kind of consistent sense of dread where there are some kind of jump out scare moments or things that are actually truly terrifying. But a lot of it is just really well set up ambiance and just layering and building, scene by scene. You really never know what's going on.
Yeah, it's kind of my favorite kind of scary movie because it's not overly gory. It's not about a ton of jump scares. It's just a slow build to you don't know what, but you know it's sinister. You know something bad is going on. You can't I love how the first time I saw that movie, I could not figure out what was happening. I had no idea, and by the end of it, you're like, holy shit.
Can we do spoilers? Because I feel like
I feel like if you haven't seen it at this point.
Or if you are super planning on watching it in the next 24 to 48 hours, you just can skip ahead. So obviously you knew that it had to be something with, the white people being crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I definitely didn't see that it was going to be Invasion of the Body Snatchers style.
Crazy.
And Georgina and whatever, who are actually the grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And actually I have to throw a shout out though, too. I thought Allison Williams was incredible.
She really was.
So she, as some of you probably know, she became famous for playing Marnie on Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually went to college with my brother. So I've seen her in plays and stuff. And I've always found her to be a good actress. I was just I always found her to be very good at playing the kind of quirky ingenue.
Mm-hmm.
Or she's always felt very real. She always plays kind of the roles of being oh, I know that girl. That's a girl that I know. And so for the first half, two thirds of the film, I thought she very believably played Rose as kind of in that same
role.
Vein. And then that moment when she's looking for her keys the whole I can't give them to you, babe.
Yeah.
And that switch is so good.
Yeah, I had chills. And when she the phone call. Where she is, her voice is full of emotion on the other line. Her face is
dead,
completely dead.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is hard to achieve.
I actually was reading some trivia about the film, and Jordan Peele said that he wasn't sure about casting her because he wasn't sure if
she could pull off.
She could pull off that moment because, like, that was like a really pivotal scene. And then she did it in an audition. He was like, "Holy shit!
Yeah,
you just scared the shit out of me." Because it's really, I mean, she really is a full 180. Even just like the way that she just carries herself and like puts her hair up, and like, oh, when she's like drinking milk and eating Fruity Pebbles, like, not Fruity Pebbles, Fruit Loops, like separately.
Yes,
I mean, it's really like hammering that,
right? Of course, whites and colors.
That theme home. My one, and the film is full of great performances. I apologize. I forget. I'm going to look it up right now because I feel bad. I'm not remembering his name, but the main actor, who I believe was just nominated for
A Golden Globe.
Yeah. He's also incredible. His name is Daniel Kaluuya, who plays Chris, and he's excellent and really... also similarly, like, really well done scene, also scared the shit out of me, is when the first scene when he's being hypnotized by Catherine Keener's character, and she's asking him about his mother who died, and like hearing, and he starts hearing the sound of rain, and she's like stirring that fucking spoon.
Yeah.
And then when she's like, oh, and like his face, like, just like, he's like paralyzed, and the people who can cry on command,
And cry when their face is immobile, I don't understand.
Yeah, like full on tears coming out, and he looks just distraught and distressed. And then when she's like, "Now sink into the floor," like into the like sunken place, it's so scary.
Yeah,
it's so scary and brilliant, brilliant twist. And my only critique is that I wanted more. I feel like the twist happens, and then his escape from the basement to kind of killing all of them happens for me a little too quickly.
Yeah.
I wanted to see, because he kills Bradley Whitford, is that his name? His character real quick.
Yeah.
And then Catherine Keener's character real quick.
Right.
And
then at least the brother like comes back.
And... Yeah. But I guess like for me, I was like, oh, this is where like shit's getting crazy. Like really like had that desire to like really, because, you know, a revenge kind of plot is a very common trope in horror films. When you have characters that have been victimized for, you know, whatever, 60 to 90 minutes, and they finally get a chance to fight back, it's so satisfying, especially, you know, in this kind of very racially tense film where you're just like, fuck yeah, kill those white motherfuckers, like those racist pieces of shit, like fucking kill, like you like want to see them suffer.
Yeah.
So for me, when it just like happened too quickly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it didn't need to be full on like Last House on the Left, like torture porn, but like.
I see what you're saying though.
Yeah, I just like wanted, and rewatching it, I was like, oh, this goes by real quick. But yeah, I think that was definitely the horror film highlight of 2017.
Yeah, I agree. If not, so it was so unique. It was so
and just really
hadn't been done before. Yeah, scary highlight of the year.
Yes.
I love that movie.
Your turn.
Okay, I want to talk about something that happened to me in my real life.
Okay.
I have no explanation for it. I have no facts to back this up, but happened to me like a week or two ago on the subway. I was commuting to work, and I was standing kind of near the door, just like listening to a podcast, like minding my own business. And we stopped at a station and people started to get on. And a man stepped onto my car, and I looked him in the eye. And in my head, I thought, that's a murderer. And I have no explanation why, but I knew it implicitly.
Oh my God.
Isn't that, and cause I kind of think about, there are enough people who have killed out there in the world that you have, I'm sure at some point in your life experienced someone who's done something.
Well, there's terrible. Like a statistic.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to make up right now, which is, I think on average you walk by 32 murderers,
right,
or you encounter,
or something
32.
Like that.
To varying degrees, I'm sure, versus like serial killers.
Right.
But
it's something that I think about sometimes where I'm like, if I saw one, would I know? And
well,
I saw this man, he was probably like in his 30s, kind like pretty like clean cut redhead, had like kind almost like a Charlie Chaplin mustache, was wearing kind of like a tweed jacket, was carrying like a leather briefcase.
He was carrying a bloody chainsaw and a severed head.
He had a body with him, and I just knew implicitly.
Like something weird is going on. Something's not quite right with that man.
But just something about him, the entire subway ride, I kept kind of looking over my shoulder and just being like, feeling his eyes upon me. Like, I can't explain why, but I just knew. And like, sorry, of course, like probably this man is like the kindest person you'll ever meet, but
he's actually just like a priest.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, so that like really, really got to me.
That's scary.
Yeah.
I think whenever you encounter those situations where you don't know if it's it's paranoia or if it's like intuition that's kicking in.
Yeah, exactly.
And also being in a place like New York City where there's so many, it's a, you know, a broad conveyor belt of colorful characters that you mm-hmm. encounter on the, especially on public transit, the chance of you actually seeing someone who probably is a murderer or has at least violent tendencies.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. As soon as you said clean cut, I'm like, yep, murder. That's always
there's
a clean cut.
No other explanation.
Dudes. No.
Do you have any other
I do.
Things?
So this is something that happened to me probably a couple weeks ago also. Mom, if you're listening to this, because apparently my parents found this podcast.
Oh my God.
It was just a terrifying thing on its own.
I can't think about that.
Mom, skip ahead this one because you won't like the story. So I was in an Uber. Mm-hmm. With a friend of mine, and we were sitting in the back seat, and it was with a friend of mine and her roommate. And so my friend was in the middle, I was on the right side of the car, and so I was not behind the driver. And we're going to take a left onto some street, and there was an oncoming car. Mm-hmm. And so I saw the Uber driver turn the left turn signal, and if it was in the back of my head, I'm thinking, there's no way that he's going to go right now because mm-hmm. there's clearly an oncoming car.
Oh, my God.
And he starts to go. And I shit you not. So this car is now coming towards the car that I'm in on the side of the car that I'm in. I literally, it's not like a like hokey, like my life flashed before my eyes situation. But the car got very close and started like blaring its horn. And I literally just thought, okay.
Oh.
Like I was so calm and to the point where like we kept going through and my friend started freaking out and she was like, what the fuck was that? She was like, you need to report that to Uber. And I literally was just like, oh.
Oh my God.
Like I truly, truly near death where like, or at least near a very, very bad accident.
Yeah. It's good to know that like were your life to be taken from you, you'd just be like, well.
It's like, well, had a good run. Like within 5 minutes and I was like, holy shit, that was actually really fucked up. Like that driver should not have.
Yeah.
I didn't report to Uber, I forgot.
Yeah.
But yeah, in that moment I was so calm.
Wow. That's
crazy.
And maybe
also because I was also in a little bit of denial where I was like, because I was also was like, he's not gonna go.
Right.
He started going and was like, that car's not gonna hit us, which it didn't. So I think then like afterwards I was like, well, it is what it and then I was like, oh, that was like yeah. Kind of fucked up.
Well, I kind of feel every time I get into an Uber or a cab, I kind of realize that I'm like taking my life into my hands because you're putting your life in someone else's hands.
Yeah, there you go.
Because
you're putting your life into someone else's hands because you're in a situation where you are not in control.
Yeah, and they drive like you have no, like they drive like insane people half the time, mm-hmm. and it's just like nothing I can do. Like getting to my destination quicker, I guess.
Yeah, wear your seatbelt.
Yeah.
Wear your seatbelt, listeners.
Yeah, that's fucking terrifying. I have one more thing.
Perfect.
That is not a life-threatening situation, but I just want to... I this was promised in the last episode. I've been getting really into some conspiracy theories that I just want to bring up.
Yes. So, I'm going to sit back for this one.
I can already hear the listeners who are cringing at the thought of believing anything of the sort when it comes to conspiracy theories, but I just think some of them are really compelling and I like can't kind of get over it.
Well, which ones?
Okay. Well, one that I really want to talk about, which I feel like will pique your interest because it's related to Lindsay Lohan.
I'm all ears.
So it's this theory that Lindsay Lohan actually had a twin sister and they both starred together in The Parent Trap.
Okay.
But then shortly after the filming of that movie, her sister tragically died. And there are varying stories about how that happened, whether she was murdered, which I don't really think she was, but I think more believably died in kind of like a car accident or something like that. But
more believably,
because the filmmakers didn't want her death to kind of affect the marketing and success of the movie, they decided to kind of just cover it up and then pretend that Lindsay Lohan had played both roles.
Oh, so this happened before the movie came out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, between the filming of the movie and when it came out, the twin died.
Okay.
And the only reason that I kind of find this somewhat intriguing is because I have never for my life been able to understand why a major motion picture would cast Lindsay Lohan, a relative unknown at the time, to play...
Completely unknown.
Completely.
Had she been life size yet?
I don't think so. Like, I don't know what kind of acting she had done before that, but, like, not someone who...
I'm on it. I'm looking at it.
Okay. But, like, why would you cast a person that no one cared about to play twins and have to, like... you have to pay for the technology to have her, like, duplicated in every single scene? She has to play both roles. Like, how is that easier than casting two twins of the same age? Like, what would have possessed them to put her in that role at great cost to them?
So, well, I'll respond to that in a second. Actually, I'll respond to that right now, which is that the only thing I can think of is that the original Parent Trap, it was done with one actress. So maybe they're trying to pay homage to that.
It was?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I'll look up that in a second. But according to IMDb, Lindsay Lohan's it was her first feature film credit, but she had been on 4 episodes of Another World, mm-hmm. which is a soap opera, and she had been credited in 1992 as being on an episode of Late Night with David Letterman as trick-or-treater dressed as garbage.
There you go.
There you have it.
Started from the bottom, now we hear.
Started from the bottom, now we're back at the bottom.
I mean, I don't think they had the technology to have in the previous Parent Trap.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding
me? Yeah, Haley Mills played Susan Evers and Sharon McKendrick.
Okay, so this puts a bit of a hole in my theory.
It does. Well, okay. I love theories about, like, celebrities. We mentioned last week the potentiality that Katy Perry was actually JonBenet Ramsey.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen were you done with the Parent Trap?
Go ahead.
Well, like, are you fucking done?
I mean, the one thing that I will add is that she later went on to star in a film called I Know Who Killed Me, in which she searches for her long-lost dead twin.
I love that movie. You know how much I love that movie. It's so... Yeah. It's just a spectacular dumpster fire. If you
couldn't be worse.
Oh, God. Please, if you have not seen that film, if just simply for the scene where she has sex with a guy while her... because in the film she has, is it her leg and her arm amputated by a serial killer?
I completely forgot about that part.
And she has a robotic leg that is charging in the corner while she's fucking this dude. It is a true
cinematic gold.
Cinematic masterpiece. There are hairless cats.
Yes.
There's Lindsay Lohan as twins.
There are blue gloves.
There are a lot of blue gloves. Mm-hmm. There's some stripper poles.
Yes.
There's severed limbs. And
what more could you want?
Lindsay Lohan on those stripper poles. It is a true trashster piece.
Yes. I love that word.
Just made it up.
Yeah. But at the same time, is it not compelling evidence?
I who's to say?
Me.
Well, going off of that, the other favorite conspiracy theory of mine that's pretty popular on the internet is that at some point in the early 2000s, I think it was after her second album, Avril Lavigne died and was replaced by
a lookalike
who then went on to release a bunch of shitty music.
Of course.
And I don't know all the details because I just think it's fucking hilarious. Basically, it was like these people that's like, this is the reason why Avril Lavigne's career went down the toilet is because
what other explanation could there be? Could there it be that she married the lead singer of Nickelback? Couldn't be that.
It's definitely not that.
Definitely not.
I think it's so funny.
Yeah. There's also like the conspiracy theory that I completely believe that O.J. Simpson is Khloe Kardashian's real father.
I totally believe that.
Yeah, if you look at the photos side by side, it's like unbelievable.
Def. And there was a lot of shady business going on in the early 90s with those families, that there was probably some.
Yeah. I mean, not to defame Khloe Kardashian. She's, you know, a wonder in her own right. But
I don't think it, like, it doesn't like change anything about who her character is. It's more just like interesting.
Yeah,
it's
except
like,
that her dad is like the notorious murderer rather than like
a man who, like, lawyer.
Yeah, who prosecuted that notorious murderer.
Well, I mean, kudos to Kris Jenner if she was getting. Getting dick down left and right.
Yeah, anyway. That was some shit that scared us this year, right?
Yeah, that's all I had.
Okay, great.
This
is going flawlessly.
Only complaints from here on out.
Great, let's talk about that.
Okay. I want to limit my driving complaints.
I have a subway complaint too.
Yeah, okay. Well, this like, harks back to our first episode.
What can you do? Like, we have to deal with it every day.
So it's great because we are two different types of commuters. You take the subway to work. I drive to school. And the two things that are really, a lot of things really piss me off while driving. And the two things that are really pissing me off, one is actually like not even that big of a deal, which is that there are all these like giant signs on the highways that basically just say like, New York City gridlock today and tomorrow, please use mass transit. And it's like,
you're like, oh, perfect. I wasn't already on the road.
And I think that I was talking to a friend about it, and she said that it's that they just do that because it's like the holidays and because it's like it's starting to snow. So people like they just want to let people know that maybe it's not the best idea to be driving around because like a lot of cars are going to be on the road. But it's also like,
what the fuck you want me to do about it right now?
Yeah, there's not a whole fucking lot I can do about it.
That's like at Alamo Drafthouse, which is my favorite movie theater of all time. It's amazing. But they have this ad that they play at the beginning of every movie that says like, please don't like text or talk during the movie or arrive late. And I'm like, okay, but if I'm arriving late, I'm not seeing this ad. And if I am seeing this ad, I have not arrived late. So
that's awesome. I love that. But my second driving complaint, super brief, is people who don't know how to merge in the sense that they don't turn their blinker on. Like if I have my blinker on, I'm merging onto a highway from another highway and like people like don't even in like there's kind of slow traffic and people don't give you the courtesy of actually like letting you in. It's like,
like, what do you want me to do?
I don't know. I always think that's going to be like traffic karma and it'll come back to bite in the ass, but it's mostly people that don't use their blinkers or are just like in such like a fucking like dickhead mentality where they're like, they're the only car on the
right
road.
Like, oh, I'm ready to go into this other lane now. I don't really care that there's some people behind me who would need to know that information before I do it
to maybe like not get into an accident.
I have to talk about commuting as well, and I think we like to come off like we're fucking perfect and we never do these things and everyone else is the culprit of everything, but I'm sure I've done this a million times, but it fucking pisses me off so much on the subway.
Well, it's even actually, sorry.
No, go ahead.
My complaint is when Crane interrupts me, is that I think there are things that other people do that annoy me, I think specifically because I probably do them.
Yeah.
You recognize that in yourself. Mm-hmm. Continue.
But like when you are on the subway, you stop at a station and there are a lot of people waiting to get on the car and they don't wait for people to get off before they start just piling in.
Oh, hell no. That is so annoying.
Like, what do you expect people to do? If you are blocking the doorway they're trying to get out of, if you wait for them to get off, there will be room for you to get on. Additionally, people who are already in the car and there's like, you know when you're in a super crowded subway car and there's like, you can see a large space where there's no people like over in the middle of the car, but the people who are near the space refuse to fill it.
Yes.
And you're just like literally have your face like in someone's asshole because they just will not fill in an empty space and you are just cramped near the door. Like that happens to me on a fucking daily basis.
Why is your face in someone's ass? are you sitting in there standing? Is that what you're
example. Your face is more likely in someone's armpit or someone else's face.
Well, if you were sitting and someone was standing, I can see why your face would end up in someone's.
True.
But yeah, two things. One, something I've witnessed that was, I literally gasped because I was so horrified. Is, you know how sometimes when doors will open and there are people who out of the kindness of their own heart, and because it actually improves the flow of people who aren't getting off of that station, will actually step off the train to mm-hmm. let people go. I once saw these two people step off the train, let people go, and then the people trying to get on the train cut in front of them.
Oh my God.
So they couldn't get back on.
That's my literal worst fear.
I literally was like, are you kidding?
So like, how rude. Important are you that you have to get on this train in front of that person who was already on the train? Oh my God, that pisses me off.
And then I just want to point out one of my favorite little like side bits on 30 Rock, my favorite show of all time, is mm-hmm. they do a little joke about how much the subway sucks. And it's like Liz Lemon is like trapped on the subway. And like, she's like, you have to let people off before like you can get on. And then the subway announcer is like, this train is now going express for no reason. And it just like perfectly encapsulates, and like someone like sneezes on her. And it's just like the perfect encapsulation of like the total shitstorm that is the
New York subway system.
I was going to say, what does the MTA stand for? Mass Transit Authority?
Authority, yeah.
See, we smart. We know things.
So if you don't live in New York,
God bless you.
I'm sorry that we've talked about this so much, but
be fucking
the bane
grateful.
Of our existence.
Okay. My turn. Okay. This is, be honest. Do you always wash your hands after you go to the bathroom?
No.
Okay. Not everyone does. Especially if you are in the comfort of your own home and you pee and like your hands are clean, like fuck it. I know that like people don't always do that, and that's fine.
I mean, I do it a lot of the time, I'm not making that much of a mess in there. Like, I'm not touching anything.
No, but there's this recurring thing I've noticed, which is that when I will walk into a public restroom and someone else is in there with me and I'm peeing, they're peeing, then they go walk over to the sink, maybe adjust their hair, and then walk out. And it's like, I don't care if I literally just like peed Purell onto my hands. Like, I would still wash my hands if someone else was in the room with me.
Absolutely. That in that case where someone is watching you, you're in a public place. Like, you gotta do it. Even if you just splash some water on your hands.
I know, at least fake it.
Come on.
So to me, like, that is like,
Also, like, for men, you're kind of like, you gotta like pull it out. Your hands are involved.
Your hands are involved, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're in the comfort of the privacy of your own home and like you feel confident about your cleanliness, that's between you and your junk.
Right.
But if you're in a public restroom, especially if you're in front of other people, just like wash. And like, also probably is a lesson for us all. Like, maybe we could all wash our hands a little more. Won't get the flu.
This has been a public service announcement.
Yeah. Wash your hands. Wear seatbelts. Wash your hands.
Very good. A little bit unrelated to men and their junk. I need to talk about how upset it makes me feel when people are really beautiful and well-dressed.
Do
you know where I'm coming from? Let me explain.
Please.
There's someone who started at my work recently who already is a naturally beautiful woman. Like, mm-hmm. just tall, model-like stature, like great hair, no blemishes, gorgeous all the time, and very kind.
It's me.
On top of that, though, bitch has the greatest wardrobe I've ever seen. And it's like every day she'll be wearing like a cute white top with like frilly sleeves and like a black dress over it and like heeled leather boots. And then she has like her hair is like perfectly coiffed. And it's like I get up in the morning, I like do my best. I throw together an outfit that I think kind of matches. I like put some foundation on then, and then I don't use setting powder, which you're supposed to do, so it stays on your face. Like, I don't do that, but I put the foundation on. Uh-huh. I buy primer because someone told me that you should. and then I'm like, oh, you know what? I kind of did a good job today. Like, I look pretty good. Then I get to work, and this bitch looks like she fucking walked off the runway. And then I all of a sudden feel like a piece of poop on her shoe. And I mean, I don't know what I expect her to do about this. It's more like I need to spend more time and money on my wardrobe, apparently. But
no, I don't think that's... No.
I just hate when, like, someone else has their shit together so much that it makes me feel like I don't.
Okay, well, here's what I'll say is whenever I see people like that, I automatically start thinking, okay, if they're this put together appearance-wise, what are we not seeing?
True.
So, you know, maybe she has a nose picking fetish. Maybe her farts smell really bad.
We can only hope that something about her
is not quite adding up.
Uh-huh. You're right.
Or at least we tell ourselves that.
You know, I mean, I think it's more of a problem with myself that I need to address, that another person can make me feel inferior simply by existing in a beautiful way. But it's just been something that every day she comes in with a cuter outfit and I'm like, God damn it.
That's
am I a piece of actual human garbage?
No.
I mean, you honestly see me at my worst because we usually record on a Sunday, which means I'm taking the day off from a shower. So I have like the highest half bun that's ever existed.
I think you look great.
At this moment.
I think you look... Are you wearing makeup right now?
Not really. Kind of.
You look great.
Great. Thank you.
I'm actually He literally
has not looked at me.
I'm literally scrolling through my phone. I'm like, yeah, you look great. You look like a model. You look like Linda Evangelista. Are you done?
Yes.
How many more do we get
to
do?
Done?
Are you done?
I probably only have like one more I want to talk about.
Okay. I can save some of these for future. I have one.
Grant has a laundry list of complaints.
Well, because all like shit happens and it just... Can I just like rattle off a couple?
Yeah. Please.
Things that have annoyed me in 2017.
Okay, when you say them, I'm going to say on a scale of 1 to 10 how much they also annoy me.
Perfect. When you're at the gym,
mm-hmm.
and people come up and work out next to you when they're clearly ample machines.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. 11 out of 10. Makes my blood boil.
Yes. Please, I mean, don't come near me. In general.
Yes, that's a good... That's cool. Wear your seatbelt, wash your hands, don't come near us.
Thank you.
When my landlord... likes to take out my rent late. And by that I mean took out October and November's rent together on November 29th.
Okay, that's never happened to me, but 10 out of 10 would annoy the shit out of me.
Really fucking irritating. Actually, I guess I don't like have that many. I was gonna say like...
Well, this was such a fun game. Come on.
It was. No, I keep going. 2-day hangovers. Or just like adult hangovers, which is like, it's not the cute, like, oh, you know, I like ripped like 45 shots last night and I woke up, I'm like, ooh, my head hurts. But you like have a bagel and then like you're fine mm-hmm. versus like you turn 25 and you like look at a glass of wine and you're like,
I can't do this anymore.
Already dehydrated.
Yep. Yep. I get that. And then you can't stop eating for 48 mm-hmm. hours.
Yeah. And like when like it's like before I was like, oh, like drinking, it was like going out was like this like fun social thing to do on weekends. And now it's like, okay, like if I'm going to, like I literally... I went out to a party the night and I literally had to think, okay, like I'm going to have like, if I have this many number of drinks, I need to have like this many glasses of water. I should probably also get a Gatorade and maybe take some preventative.
Yeah, it's like, I'm just going to be out of commission for like the next 5 days. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 10 out of 10.
Okay. Yeah. Those are kind of the other ones I have actually are like
kind of
stupid.
Save them.
But the one I have one long complaint. So you go next.
Okay. So the one last thing that I want to complain about, since the Golden Globe nominations came out recently, and Grant and I will be watching them together as is tradition, and I was incredibly disheartened to find that in a year where films like Wonder Woman and Lady Bird...
Oh, I know where you're going with this. I agree. 15 out of 10.
No women directors nominated?
That's fucked up.
Yeah. When Lady Bird is... I will admit I have not seen it yet, but when it is widely considered definitely one of the best films of the year, the only film that has a 100% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, not that that's the end all be all, but clearly like, and every single thing that I've heard has said this is incredible. It's an incredible feat of acting and directing and writing, and Greta Gerwig deserves
mm-hmm.
recognition for it. As does Patty Jenkins for Wonder Woman, which I think was a great, great movie and a pioneering feat for women in the world of superheroes. I just don't understand how this is still where we are. Like, feels like we're making progress and then we just can't catch a break.
That seems to be the lesson of the year.
Yeah.
What you just said actually kind of feel like sums up how I feel about 2017. And I also feel like it's worth noting that there are plenty of things that we obviously did not complain about, like net neutrality and the fact that California is literally on fire.
And everything related to politics and Donald Trump, because I can't get started on it.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope of kind of despair. And it's not to say that these are issues that should be ignored. I actually think kind of vehemently the opposite, that, you know, we should be doing everything we can, signing every petition we can, you know, going to protests and calling our senators and fighting back. But I feel like overall the theme of 2017, which people, I remember about a year ago, or I think it was actually kind of before the election, that people were like, oh, 2016 is the worst. Oh, like, can't wait for 2017, yeah, because, where things get wiped clean. Well, I just
remember, like, every celebrity died in 2016. Mm-hmm. Trump was elected.
It just, like, seemed like things couldn't get worse. And then 2017 was just a consistent reminder
that
they would, and they could, and they will, and they are. Mm-hmm. But I think that what kind of sucks is that it does feel like, in a lot of ways, the good that has happened has been in a sense of one step forward, two steps back.
Yep. Exactly.
So we do have to use your complaint as an example, you know, we did have, you know, this pioneering, you know, these instances of these pioneering films where, you know, women, female directors were able to be recognized at the same level as men, which is like, it's like the fact that this is still a conversation is stupid.
Yeah. I mean, the percentage of women directors in comparison to male directors is absolutely minuscule.
Yeah. And it's not that they should be getting noticed or nominated because they're women. It's the fact that they were...
No, that they deserved to because of their work.
And they did just as good, if not better, work than the men. So yes. It just feels like one of those...
And I mean, I don't think that it was a deliberate move to not honor any women, but it just feels like an incredibly unbelievable oversight at this point.
Agreed.
Yeah, so I'm done.
Yeah, I think I'm done too. I mean... per usual, we could continue on complaining about different things.
Wait, I thought you said you had one longer story.
Should I just do it?
What, is it good?
Yeah, it's really fucking annoying. Okay. This is a very situational thing. I'm not going to name which delivery system this was, but because I don't need to offend anyone. I ordered a package online. It was supposed to be delivered to my apartment. And I got home one night and there was that little... sticky note on my...
Oh my God, fuck those.
Yeah, so basically being like, we attempted to deliver your package, we couldn't, we're going to try again tomorrow. I'm a full-time graduate student. I go to school, I'm in school sometimes 12 hours a day. So I come back again the next day. Obviously, was not there to pick up the package.
Right, when they leave you a note that says, you were not here on Tuesday at 12 p.m. We'll try again tomorrow, Wednesday at 12 p.m.
Yeah, like, oh, maybe...
Oh, perfect. I definitely don't work every weekday or go to school every weekday.
So it gets so much worse. So they had a number that I could call to basically be like, oh, sorry. On the second notice, and they said that if they make a third notice, the package goes back to the sender. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, so glad that I paid for this and paid for shipping and handling, and you're not even going to fucking deliver my package. So there was a note on it that it was a very misleading note that said, this package will be dropped at the Duane Reade around the corner from me. So they have this like location where apparently this delivery company drops off packages there. I don't know why. And so I go to the Duane Reade. I ask to speak to the manager so I can pick up my package. And they're like, oh, sorry. Did you call it in for it? And I was like, no. And they're like, oh, that's what actually, and I showed them the thing. And they're like, oh, they should write, like, you have to call in and then you can pick it up here.
Yeah, they should fucking write that.
Yeah. So I proceed to call the hotline, spoke to a very nice woman, explained what's happening. And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, la, la, la. And she was like, do you want to pick a location where to pick up your packages? And I was like, I keep wanting to say it. The delivery. It was FedEx.
Vestibule.
It was FedEx. Oh, okay. Let's just call it spade a spade. I'm getting even annoyed at myself for trying to talk about it. It was fucking FedEx. There's a FedEx store near my apartment. So I was like, oh, can you deliver it there? And I'll pick it up there. And she's like, great, it'll be there tomorrow. I go to the FedEx store and they're like, oh, sorry, it's not here. It's down the street at the Duane Reade.
Oh my God.
I literally was just like,
shut up.
And these were two t-shirts to wear to the Lady Gaga concert that I went to.
Well, that is vital.
But it was just, it was more, and they were from Redbubble. So it's like, it's not like it just was like this like generic thing, whatever. So it's like this custom made shirt. I was really excited about it. So I go to the Duane Reade and they're like, oh yeah, we have the packages. So I was like, thank fucking God. They proceed to go into the back. They bring them out and they had like a scanner that they have to like basically like sign off that we picked the package. Scanner wasn't working. I stood there for 45 minutes.
Shut up.
While the person tried to get the scanner to work. He's holding my packages. I have never felt, and he like was like, let me go see what I can do, and like walks away. So I'm just standing there at the counter. The wave of emotions that I went through from frustration to anger to eventually just defeat were literally, I looked at him and I was like, can I just have my packages, man?
Like the five stages of grief.
Like, it's really not that hard. Like, I understand that you have a protocol. I, in theory, respect it. But also, this has been ludicrous and absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, that would have pissed me off to no end.
Yeah, that was, that's basically it. I mean, long story short, I got the packages. But then I am walking back to my apartment. I was so mad. And I get into my apartment. I open, or into my apartment building, and I check my mail, which is like in just like one of those like steel, like normal New York City apartment. God, this dog outside is going cray.
This is so annoying.
Mailbox. And a different delivery service had dropped off. I had ordered 7 pairs of leggings for my costume for my piece at school.
I had ordered 7 pairs of leggings for myself.
And they were all stuffed into my mailbox. So the fact that, and that package was twice as big as the one, the Redbubble package. Oh. So the fact that it's like, oh, you had no problem delivering that and leaving it inside my apartment like inside my building. But these two flimsy packages featuring t-shirts was so precious, it couldn't be dropped off. I'm suing FedEx. I'm suing everyone I've ever met.
Yep. We're suing everyone who's ever ridden the subway.
Yeah. And who's driven a car.
Yep.
Suing the MTA. Suing who else? Suing people who don't wash their hands in public restrooms and people who work out next to us. Come near us.
Yes. Okay. Well, this has been a treat.
This has been a real treat. Please, I can't wait to see what new things happen in 2018 that we can complain about.
I just can't wait to complain more.
As always, please send us emails at rwfpodcast@gmail.com. And
follow our Instagram when it comes
Instagram.
Out.
I acknowledge that this is a couple weeks ahead of time, but in my last episode, I promised that we would have an Instagram live on January 1st. So please head over to our Instagram handle, name pending, because I don't know what it is yet because I haven't made it yet. And also we especially would really like some feedback on what kind of, punching the microphone, what kind of episodes you guys really like, because I mean,
we're just making this up as we go along. So
we're figuring it out. And the discussion episodes, like the normal ones that we do where we have different segments, I don't think that's going anywhere. But do you like the episodes we did about Dear David and Stranger Things 2, or this episode where we actually didn't really talk about, I guess we talked about some scary shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to stop talking.
I know. This has been welcome to the new year.
I hope you enjoy your holidays and that the new year brings nothing but murder and mayhem and
dirty hands.
Dirty hands. Bye, bitches.